Hello, and welcome to the AMA's Steps Forward podcast series. We'll hear from healthcare leaders nationwide about real-world solutions to the challenges that practices are confronting today. Solutions that help put the joy back into medicine. AMA's Steps Forward program is open access at stepsforward.org.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the AMA Steps Forward podcast series. This is your host, Si Chen, Physician Director of Praxis Sustainability here at the AMA. To discuss employers' perspectives on behavioral health integration and current work underway to support whole person care at the Purchaser Business Group on Health, I'm joined by their AMA member and PBGH Vice President for Advanced Primary Care, Dr. Raymond Tai. Thank you for being here today, Dr. Tai.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get started, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself and PBGH?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Raymond Tai. I am an AMA member since 2009. I'm a family medicine physician and also board in clinical informatics. And I work in Central California, which is a more rural and agricultural part of the state of California. And I have been in the PBGH role for about 2 years now as VP of Advanced Primary Care, and have been helping our 40 jumbo employer and public purchaser members in accessing our model of advanced primary care for their employees and their families.
So I know your involvement in PBGH is very important, but could you tell our listeners a little bit more about PBGH and what the organization does and is?
Absolutely. PBGH is a nonprofit collaborative of 40 of the country's largest private employers and public purchasers, who collectively spend $350 billion on healthcare annually to provide healthcare for more than 21 million Americans. We've been coming together since the early 90s to think about how, through collective action, we could advance quality, drive affordability, and foster health equity, and really just move forward the healthcare system to something that we would all be proud to have on behalf of their employees and their families.
That's great. I think that is definitely something that people don't think about, that employers do want the best for their employees. And it's great that the PBGH is trying to do that for them, especially in healthcare and mental health care. I know that you recently recorded a webinar with our team, and I know that more detail about what PBGH is and does in that webinar. And so I'd ask our listeners to go to the description in the podcast below if you want more information. But that being said, can you share how PBGH defines whole person care, just so that the audience has a good idea, has a level set for that?
Absolutely. And so one of the unique things about PBGH is that we work with our jumbo employers and try to reach consensus on various ideas. And so when we talk about whole person care, a lot of times we're really actually talking about advanced primary care in our context. And so we have defined those attributes through some consensus building in California as well, and define it as care that is person and family centered, care that's relationship based, care that's accessible, that's comprehensive, that's team based, that's integrated with the rest of the healthcare system through informed referrals, that's coordinated, and that's also equitable.
That's awesome. I like that you've sort of outlined every single point that you're trying to accomplish, which I think clarifies for both, you know, your members, as well as if any of our audience members are curious, they can go to, you know, their website and see what those pillars of your goals are. I did want to ask, for these jumbo employers, why would they want to engage in this area of whole person care, of advanced primary care? What's the value add for them? And especially in the context of mental and behavioral health, why should they want, I think it's apparent to us, but why would they want to concentrate on those things?
So overall, I would say employers are engaging in these efforts to improve the health system and engage in advanced primary care because there's actually a lot of frustration with our healthcare system as is, right? And this is frustration that we all have as patients, as clinicians. We see how much money is being spent and the incredibly high costs without a corresponding improvement on health outcomes. The health expectancy of the US is dropped. And in addition to that, as patients or even as clinicians, we don't really have great experiences with the healthcare system. Hence why there's so much frustration on patient side complaining about healthcare and so much burnout on the clinician side with people just leaving clinical care. And so as a employer, that's not what they want, right? Because they're spending a lot of money to provide a benefit for their employees and their families. Who wants to spend a lot of money for not good product? No employer, no consumer wants to do that, let alone big businesses. And so that's why they're engaging in different efforts within healthcare, one of which is advanced primary care and whole person primary care, because we know that every investment into primary care garners savings down the line by preventing wasteful costs in healthcare. In specific to integrated behavioral health, for us, in our definition of advanced primary care, that is a minimum requirement for advanced primary care. It's required. We wouldn't consider advanced primary care without integrated behavioral health. And the reason we care about that is really twofold. One, there's a business case for it. There's an ROI associated with investing in behavioral health, even just besides primary care, which there's also an ROI attached to that. But with behavioral health itself, it's about every dollar invested is $4 in returns, both in terms of health benefit costs as well as productivity. Having poor mental health care also results in a loss of productivity of about 38%. And we also have increased retention for those that are able to engage and address their mental health needs of about 32%. And these all translate to real dollars for a business. And so that's one reason that employers are engaged with integrated behavioral health. The other reason is it's just the right thing to do, meaning we know that there's a mental health crisis in the US. A lot of people have suffered or are suffering from various degrees of mental health issues. And we particularly saw it during the pandemic. And so besides all this business case to do, we have to remember that people within these employers are still people. They have family members affected by mental health issues. They themselves are, you know, patients. And they want to be sure that the care that's being provided is the best care with the best patient experience. And that is through integrated behavioral health. And so that's another reason that employers are really leaning into it, is to really provide that best in kind, best patient experience, that lower stigma for mental health through primary care. And that also increases access to mental health for their employees and families.
I'm very glad that you, in addition to the business case, really highlighted the human case for doing this work. So thank you for that. I do want to say that, you know, with the business case, we know that it's always a difficulty finding dollars for integration of behavioral health. And so this is also one method of opening access and funding that important work that clinicians are doing all over the country. And so both those business cases and the human case, I think, are extraordinarily compelling, and I'm glad that you've highlighted those. Getting into the clinic a little bit, with, you know, mental health and behavioral health concerns that oftentimes either surface or are the primary reason why patients visit the primary care clinic, what does PBGH do in supporting sort of employer behavioral health integration specifically in that clinic setting, and how do your members also help enhance care coordination and access?
So I think the number one thing we're doing is championing advanced primary care, because as mentioned, our definition of advanced primary care includes integrated behavioral health. And so by championing it and investing in it and making advanced primary care available for their employees and families, they are, in doing so, make integrated behavioral health part of that. Now, there's various ways that we will help our members access integrated behavioral health. One way, for instance, is by helping them directly contract with clinicians that are providing advanced primary care. And that's actually one of the easier ways to do it for employers, because they're able to set an expectation of services that includes integrated behavioral health and then pay for that expectation of services without having to navigate the complexities of our current coding or the current systems in place. And so that is one way that we're kind of making integrated behavioral health more accessible in the market.
Got it. And so are you seeing, in your role, what barriers that your members are seeing in and continuing to encounter when you're trying to integrate behavioral health in advanced primary care? And how have you looked to overcome those barriers?
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of barriers, unfortunately. And part of it is just that, as we know, our healthcare system is so fragmented. And part of that is also we have 40 different members. With 40 different members, we'll get 40 different approaches and 40 different opinions about anything, 40 different levels of understanding, right? And so I would say for one part is that we do have to do a good amount of education to level set amongst our members about what is integrated behavioral health, why they want it. That's a little bit easier, the why they want it, because again, these are still humans and they're still patients. But then I think what surprises a lot of employers is that that's not currently the standard of practice now. Things like primary care, things like integrated behavioral health just intuitively make sense in terms of what we want for ourselves, even as patients or for our own families, that you'd think that the system would naturally give it or naturally be able to deliver that. That's not always the case, as we know. And so some of the challenges there then are, one, kind of level setting on the understanding. I think the other challenge is, once an employer wants it, how do they know that it's there and that they can identify it? Again, employers typically are not clinicians like you and I. And so they're typically managing health benefits from an HR perspective, might not have the expertise to be able to vet clinics, right? And vet the services there. And so they often rely on other entities to do that. And thus far, a lot of it has been third-party administrators or health insurance companies to do so. I think in more recent years, that has changed a little bit, where employers want to double check. It's kind of like a trust and verify type situation. And so we at PBGH are trying to help them do that verification. And one way we've done that is we created the PBGH Care Excellence Program, which gives awards to practices that are delivering the standard of advanced primary care that's been set by our employer members, that again includes integrated behavioral health. And by identifying them in the market, it allows employers to then set up these direct contracts with practices that they know meet their standards, or find other ways within their benefit structure to steer patients to those practices that meet our standards for advanced primary care.
I want to follow up on that, what you just said about your care excellence programs. I know that a lot of physicians want to do good whole person care with integrated behavioral health care as part and parcel of that. If I was a physician who may be in a market that has one of your members, how would I go about finding out how to join this care excellence program that you've outlined?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to reach out to me, right? My email is there. It's also rtsai@pbgh.org. And what we'll do is we'll talk about what the actual program and the requirements are. It's actually twofold. So there's one side of it, which is really just looking at health outcome measures. And there's a kind of a consolidated list of it, very much aligned with what CMS is measuring and whatnot. And so we'll measure those outcomes and measure them against national benchmarks. And then we'll do another assessment, typically a site visit, that will look for things like integrated behavioral health. And we'll also look for things like how the clinicians in the clinic refer into the system. Because again, one of our definitions of this is care that is integrated and coordinated. And so it's not just about referring out into the community, but also being very mindful of who you're referring to, but also of helping guide the patient out and back. And so those are part of our definitions. And so we'll assess all of that on behalf of the employers, give an award for that, so that then when employers do want to engage with a clinic that is of the standards that they're looking for, they already know somebody has done that vetting for them that is qualified to do so.
That sounds great. I like how your group has aligned both the quality aspects, of course, with the payment aspects of things. And so I think that that's the incentivization is correct and should be there. I know that you're not probably supposed to call out any other folks that are, you know, your quote-unquote competitors in the space, but let's say I'm not in an area that is covered by a PBGH member. Are there any other folks in the in this employer space that that you know of that could be available to physicians out there?
The PBGH is national, and so there's probably not areas where there isn't at least one of our members, to be completely honest, because we are dealing with jumbo national employers, right? And so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that we don't really have competitors in the purchaser space, in the sense of a lot of organizations that are also membership organization of employers. We actually call them our sister organizations. We all work together. Sometimes we share members. And so we don't so much compete with each other in that way. And we'll work together to support each other and support the business side of things to help improve healthcare. And so there's none of our sister organizations that I'm aware of that are really trying to help our members think through the quality of advanced primary care like we currently are. But if anyone is, feel free to say it. And I would never treat it as a competitor so much. We'd find a way to work together.
Gotcha. I was just curious. And, you know, finally, like, are there any pearls of wisdom that you would like to share with our audience? Anything that you think would help, you know, physicians in their journey to trying to integrate behavioral health in their practices?
I would say the other pearl of wisdom I'll give is that a lot of times when I'm talking with clinicians, there's a lack of understanding of how employers work in the system, right? And how much they care and what they actually do and what their role is. And so my pearl of wisdom is really that employers could be your best partner. And because ultimately, employers want the same things, right? And that clinicians want for our patients. The best quality care, the best patient experience, the best outcomes. And that is because, again, they're buying a benefit for their employees and families. And nobody wants to feel like a gift or a benefit that they're giving is actually not making somebody happy, right? It's just like any sort of gift you might give a family or a friend. Like, you don't want to give it to them and then have them receive and be like, oh, this kind of sucks. Because that just doesn't feel good. You feel like you've wasted your money and nobody wants that. And so employers are on the side of clinicians. And I think trying to find ways to actually work together can really, really, really create something innovative. I think some other pearls of wisdom I can give is that employers largely work off of data, right? And so, and they're getting data through various sources, but a lot of times, as we know, the data is coming from clinicians, either through PHQ-9 screenings, whether it's from billing data. And so if you are doing integrated behavioral health, be sure to document it. Document the screenings, code appropriately for it so that we know what's happening in the system and where the challenges are. The last piece of wisdom I'll give is that the employers have different levers that they use. And so it's not quite as direct as people might think, unless they are directly contracting, but it's usually through that contract itself. And so if there are contracts with health plans, then a lot of times that's where employers can exert influence. And so for an example, we have two of our members in California, CalPERS and Covered California, that have in their contracts that health plans should be promoting integrated behavioral health and asking them to report back how they're doing that, as well as with measures that they're giving and reports that they're giving back to the purchaser on integrated behavioral health to know that it's in the market. And so those are different ways that employers can act. And so those are my three pearls of wisdom. One is employers are your friends. The second is to help by providing data. And the third is to realize that the employer's influence as a purchaser or the purchaser's influence is often through contracting. And it's just a different level of influence that I don't think clinicians have a great exposure to.
I think that is critical. What you just said is that we know that we don't get that much exposure to these kinds of payment arrangements, even in medical school or training. And so to call that out, I think, is extraordinarily valuable for folks who want to find out a little bit more about how employers are involved in their reimbursements and payments and such. So, and that way we can start to have more and more conversations with employers as well. So I really appreciate you being on the podcast, Dr. Tsai, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Raymond Tsai has been our guest today. Check out the episode description to explore Dr. Tsai's webinar and the BHI Collaborative, and all the resources mentioned in today's episode. Until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the AMA's Steps Forward podcast series. AMA's Steps Forward program is open access at stepsforward.org. Steps Forward can help put the joy back into medicine by offering real-world solutions to the challenges that your practice is confronting today. We look forward to you joining us next time on the AMA's Steps Forward podcast series, stepsforward.org.